All right, if you have your Bibles with you or your smartphones, and you can find Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to the end of the chapter. So Acts 42 through 47. That'll be our main text. There's another really significant text, Philippians 2, 1 through 11. If you got the email about sermon notes this week, you got these passages, so... So Acts 2, 42 through 47, Philippians 2, 1 through 11, those are our main texts that we'll be working with. We're in a series, a 5 or 6 week series. We're still trying to figure out how long it'll last, but we're in a series on biblical community, on kingdom community, on what it means to belong to the body of Christ. How do we belong in the family of God? And Mike started us last week by looking at the story in Luke 15 of the prodigal. And he talked about kingdom community. He had 5 points about kingdom community last week. The ones that stood out to me were that kingdom community begins with a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Kingdom community creates a higher culture, a different way. And kingdom community is always a choice. It's never forced on us. Okay, so those were 3 of the 5 points. The message is on the web. Go check it out. Today, we're going to look at what I'm entitling the cost of belonging. The cost of belonging. So, we're going to read a passage that some of you may be familiar with. The church, the body of Christ, Jesus has... ascended to the Father. He's commissioned his disciples to go and preach the gospel and to make disciples of all nations. And Peter takes them on his word. And Peter has just preached an amazing message for all of chapter 2. And as we come to the conclusion of Acts chapter 2, I'm going to pick it up actually in verse 37. This is the message paraphrase. Here is a picture of kingdom community right at the birth of the church. Kingdom community. Those who were listening to Peter asked, brothers, so what do we do? And Peter said, change your life. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins are forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is targeted to you and your children, but also to all who are far away, whomever, in fact, our Master God invites. And he went on in this vein for a long time, urging them over and over, get out while you can. Get out of this sick and stupid culture. So that's the paraphrase, but that, get out of this sick, dying culture. That is relevant today. Verse 41, that day about 3,000 took him at his word and were baptized and signed up. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through these apostles. And all the believers lived in wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful, as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day, their number grew as God added those who were saved. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this picture of community that began early in your church. Thank you for your word that gives us a window into what your purposes are, what your will is, the direction you want for our lives. So speak to us. Reveal the truth, and let us be receptive to your Holy Spirit's speaking to us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. So I had this thought as I read through that passage. We can be a little bit interactive here. When I read through that passage, what stood out to you? That was a description of community life in the early church. What stood out? Anything?
It's harmony.
Okay, good. Now we're going. meals, eating meals together. We like that.
Sharing of everything.
Committed to the teaching. Okay. It was committed to prayer. Okay, one of the big things that stands out to me, I liked all of that. One of the big things that stood out to me is there was this joy and this exuberance and this enthusiasm. Nobody told them, you better get together and have a good time. You know, the Pharisees weren't standing around in a religious way saying, now this is the way the new church is going to look like, and you better do it or else. It was, they were meeting together. They couldn't get enough of talking about Jesus, looking at the teachings, and praying together. They just had an enthusiasm for being together. Okay? So there was this enthusiasm for fellowship, for community, and there was no one coercing it in them. And that's one of the things that Mike shared last week, is that the kingdom community is not forced. It is totally voluntary, chosen. Okay, so what does community in the body of Christ, what does belonging to the family of God cost? And so here's the first slide. It costs nothing. It costs us nothing. Here's Ephesians 1:4. I've put the references there. You can take notes. You can take a picture of the slide. Here's what Ephesians 1 says. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured on us who belong to his dear son. We belong because he loved us and chose us and adopted us. Romans 5:17, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it. It's a gift. The gift of righteousness is given to any who receive it. And then Ephesians 2:8-9, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can ever boast about it. Our role is to take this amazing adoption gift and receive it. We believe it and we receive it. So we don't do anything. We don't pay any price to become part of the family of God. We belong simply because of what Jesus did, and we believe it and we accept it. Now, membership in modern culture has all kinds of other requirements, right? So anybody part of a frequent flyer travel club? Anybody travel? A few of us, okay. I think I'm a member of like 5 different frequent flyer programs from all the way back 20-some years ago when I traveled in computer work. And I would accumulate miles, but I would never get enough to do anything. It was like fly all these different, never got any benefit from all of my membership in those frequent flyer clubs. What are other, you can be a part of the local country club, and it has some of its benefits. You pay a price, and you get in, right? That's membership. We all wish we could be part of Costco club membership, right? You pay money to be a member so that you can pay money every time you leave the store, right? That makes sense, yeah? Costco, yeah, we all want that for some reason. One of the other qualities, characteristics of membership is that it has this exclusiveness to it. It's elite. There's a golf tournament every year at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia, and it is elite and it is exclusive, and they only allow so many members. And until recently, you had to be a guy or you couldn't be a member of that exclusive club, and that didn't play well recently. And so now a few ladies have been invited. And then I saw that there's this really exclusive tennis and racket club in Florida, and you have to be a white person to be a part of it. That isn't going to play well for too much longer either, I pray. But So in the world's eyes, you pay something and it's exclusive, and the whole reason you're a part of it is because of what I benefit from it. And when you're a part of a club, you really expect awesome customer service. Sue and I were part of the AAA automotive club when we were first married. We had AAA, and we paid money, and it would give you roadside service, and which is something you never want, right? You don't want to have to use roadside service. But if you ever get stuck, then you're, well, sure enough, the one time we used it, I think we got our money out of like 3 or 4 years of membership because we locked our keys in our rental car in Germany. And did you know AAA works over there? It's the most amazing thing. Didn't pay a cent. I don't really even remember how we made a phone call and got the person there, but they came and unlocked it. Okay. So membership in clubs, you pay for a service and you expect great value and benefits, and it gives you exclusive rights and privileges, and it's prestigious, and that's the way it is in the world. And you know what it's like in the body of Christ to belong to the family of God? It's really different, because the values and the priorities in the kingdom culture are really different. So being a part costs us nothing. That's the first really big difference. And then the next really big difference is this. I'm trying to go one slide at a time. Here we go. The cost of belonging actually costs everything. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Here's how Peter goes on to talk about it. You know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. I like that Corinthians passage so much, I'm going to read it to you in the Message paraphrase again. Didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works, so let people see God in and through your body. Membership, belonging in the body of Christ, costs you nothing, and it costs Jesus everything. That is this amazing paradox. Membership in the body of Christ costs nothing, and it costs everything. It costs you and I nothing. We're just supposed to accept the gift of adoption into the family and receive it, and it costs Jesus everything to secure that place for us. Membership into the kingdom of God, belonging to the body of Christ, is the most expensive initiation fee out there. Some of these places cost $500,000, half a million, to become members of this club. That's just ridiculous. But it's nothing. That's just mere gold and silver compared to the price that was paid to bring us into the family of God. And Jesus paid it for us. As members of the body of Christ, belonging to the family of God is much different, I said earlier. The price is higher than any person can ever afford. There's no way you and I can afford entrance into the body of Christ, and so God paid it for us in the sacrifice of Jesus. The focus of the kingdom community, the focus of belonging in the body of Christ, is others, not self. We are part of the family of God for everyone else in the room, not ourselves. That's really different. Each member looks to serve others, not to be served. We are a member of the body of Christ, and our whole goal is excellent customer service to everyone else. Not that we would get it. And then one of the other amazing characteristics of belonging to God is that membership is inclusive. Everyone is welcome, no exceptions. Wide open membership. Global. And by inviting more and more people in, it just increases the value of the kingdom. It doesn't diminish. There's no higher prestige than be called a daughter or a son of God. When we become a part of the family of God, we're called to follow Jesus' example. So we are supposed to be like our leader. So in this kingdom culture, in this belonging to the family of God, we are looking for the benefit of others, and we are looking to emulate our leader, Jesus. So here's the great concluding slide that has all of the goodies on it. So Jesus, in this Philippians passage, it says, he made himself nothing. He became as a servant. He humbled himself, and he humbled himself to even death on a cross. That's how low you go in the club called the family of God. So the focus of belonging to God isn't what do I get out of it and how much prestige can I have and what's the service that's going to be rendered to me. It's we're going to be humble and we're going to put others first and we're going to lay our lives down in love and we're going to share everything we had, as we read in that passage in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to use our gifts. We're going to use whatever is at our disposal to lift up others and to benefit everyone else. That's what Jesus did. So belonging. What does it cost for you and I to be a part of the body of Christ? Well, it costs us nothing and it costs us everything. Don't you know that your life is not your own? It was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. So there it is, church. Deal with it. Your life is no longer yours. It's God's. And he gets to decide how he wants to use your life. That's even more demanding than Costco, where you spend money to be a member and then you can't leave for under $100 every time you go in there. When you are a part of the body of Christ, you haven't paid anything, but Jesus paid it all, and he wants all of you. Not because he's needy, he wants all of you, because if you will give your life totally to him, your life will be the most amazing upgrade you can imagine. Because when you lose your life, you gain it. That's what Jesus said. When he called disciples to him, he says, come take up your cross and follow me. If you try to protect, preserve, and manage your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lay down your life, you'll gain it. There's a really great Jim Elliot quote that I wish I would get right. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I think I got that right. All right, so the kingdom culture, belonging to the body of God, the family of God, belonging to the body of Christ, is totally upside down and different than what we think of culturally by being a member. So now I want to move, that's big picture and that's foundational. So get that, and now I want to move to the incredibly practical. And I just want you to know, I love you. I'm gonna do one of these affirmation sandwiches. I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm about to challenge your socks off. Mike dodged this last week, but I'm not going to this week. I love you. I love you. If we belong to God, if I belong to God, but I don't belong to a local church, then I'm missing God's best. Now you're here this morning. And what does it mean to belong to a local church? Well, you might be a guest, and wherever your home is, then be a member of the family. Be at home. Don't move around and never know where home base is in the body of Christ. Okay? If you belong to God, if he's given you his life, and he says, your life is not your own, it's now mine, he wants you invested, engaged, connected, and participating in a local church. That's his best for you. And this sounds self-serving for a pastor to say, but I want you to know I said these things and I walked these things before I was a pastor. This isn't new information that is convenient for me now. It's God's word. It's always been true. And I don't want to shrink back from telling you what's true, because you will not have God's best in your life if you try to add a little bit of church here and a little bit of God here. It won't work. Either you are his or you aren't. And if you are his, if you belong to the body of Christ, he wants all of you. And he wants to decide your future. And he wants to decide what you do with every resource you have. Here are some bad reasons to be involved in the local church: to find relationships that will care for me and meet my needs, to attach myself to a really gifted person so that I can advance as they advance. Another bad reason: to pretend I care about someone so that they will join my cause or join my business or give to my nonprofit charity that I care about. Another bad reason: to appease my parents or my spouse who's pressuring me to be part of a church. Those are bad reasons. Here are some good reasons to connect and participate in the local church, in the body of Christ: to desire to be obedient and follow Christ. That's a really good reason. The reason to be involved in local church life, to belong in this community or whichever one in this area that God calls you to, is to be obedient and follow Jesus. He laid his life down for others. We will too. Another reason, a good reason to engage and connect in the local church, is to know and be known, to love and be loved, to serve and be served, to celebrate and be celebrated, to give and be, that's not right, that's not a good word, gived. There's a new word. Mike made two words up last week and I wrote them down. So here's one of my two: to give and be gived. Whatever. All right, so if I belong to God but I don't belong to his body, if I don't belong to local church, we aren't going to know God's best for our lives. And we're not going to follow him in the way he calls us to. If I belong to God and I belong to a local church, this one or some other one if you're a guest, but I only attend if I only attend some Sunday services, then I'm missing God's best. See, as I get ready to say challenging things, I get nervous and I get tongue-tied. So here we go. If I belong to God and I belong to this church, but I only attend occasional Sunday services, I'm missing God's best. Attending Sunday service 2 to 3 times a month for 60 to 90 minutes is not going to accomplish the significant transformation God wants for your life and my life. It just won't. Now, soon I got married in the 80s. There was a lie that the world was selling people in the 80s, and it was this one: that it's okay if you don't have a lot of time to spend with your children. As long as you give them quality time, they're going to be fine. Doesn't have to be too much. Just make it quality. And that was helping a whole lot of guilty feeling parents for throwing their lives into work, working workaholics, throwing their lives into extracurriculars. And so that was a lie. Now, all these years later, decades later, that there has been an overreaction, and now we overindulge our children, and our whole lives are helicoptered around them. That's another whole thing. But in the 80s, there was this lie that you didn't need to spend quantity time with your kids. You could just have quality time, and it would be wonderful for them. So that was a lie that the culture sold. And I want you to know, we bought into it a little bit as Christians. So here's what it looked like. If we as church leaders would make the worship experience on Sunday morning the most amazing quality experience for 90 minutes, you could just do that once in a while and you'd be all right. We can't make 90 minutes so awesome, excellent, and quality that it's going to be enough for your life. I want to do that as a leader, but that's not enough for your transformation and for you to fulfill God's purposes for your life and for you to experience his best. Relationship with God and with one another requires a serious commitment of your time, your talents, and your gifts. Not a token, few minutes, a couple times a month. If you belong to God and you belong to this church and you still feel like you aren't experiencing life, love, and relationship and community in the way that we read about there in Acts chapter 2, I just want to encourage you, please don't give up and don't quit. In fact, do the opposite. Take another step. Take some more initiative. Be courageous and risk putting yourself into new activities, involvements. Don't pull back. Press in to the body of Christ. Take a concrete step to serve and bless others in your church family. Do it to obey and glorify God, not to satisfy or twist God's arm or to please a pastor who's talking about commitment on the platform. Okay? We just heard an invitation to partner with a ministry that goes for 8 weeks called Alpha. And it is intended to go out of these walls and introduce people to faith in Jesus Christ. You can do that by inviting people to come with you. You can do that by serving the meals, leading support. You can do that a number of ways. We don't offer that to make your life busy. We offer that because it is a vehicle to lay your life down and to see. See, one of the other amazing things about that verse, those verses in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people came to faith in one day, and they assimilated them, and they met in one another's home. They didn't have a crisis, it doesn't sound like. And it says then that people were enthusiastic, they were full of joy, and they gave their lives and they gave their stuff, and it says that the people in the community were in awe at what was going on, and people kept being added to their numbers daily. There was never a point in the church being birthed that they hit a threshold and said, that's enough. We can't provide a quality service anymore. There's no more room for any more believers. Stop it already. It never got to that point. There's always room for people to be adopted into the family of God. It's never going to be convenient to have more people join the family of God. Every child that we had took way more work. You don't have children to make your life easy. And we don't extend the good news of salvation to more and more people in this community because it makes our life more convenient. It means more sacrifice. It means more being invisible. It means laying and sacrificing your life down even more. And why would we do that? Because our leader did that and showed us that's who he is and what he does, and that's what his family does. There is always room for more people in the body of Christ in this house. We're never too full. Because God's heart has room for more. And Jesus laid his life down for everyone. And if everyone's in this community respond to his invitation, then there's room in his family. There's room in his house. Jesus said that to his disciples. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I'm going and getting things ready. Jesus is always about getting things ready for more people to know who he is. And he wants us to be that way too. You ever been with someone who just keeps inviting more people to their house for a meal? And in a lot of cultures, like in Uruguay, we'll go down there, and they're just so hospitable, and they'll invite some people, and then they'll forget they invited them, and they'll invite some more people. And you show up, and there's no room in their house, but nobody minds. They just keep putting chairs around the room and adding food, and it's a party. We have got to get God's heart for community and for family. There's always room for more. So if you belong to God and you belong to this church and you're participating, but things just still don't look like the picture in Acts chapter 2, don't pull back, press in. Then my last one. If you belong to God and you belong to this church and you're connected and serving in more one or more ways throughout the week and you still feel like this is not what God wants for me, then I invite you to do this. Ask God what to do. Karen, why don't you come up? I feel like maybe some anointed music would make this challenging word easier. Let me tell you another lie that our culture, the culture sold us a lie in the 80s that said quantity time was okay if you didn't give your children quantity time. Here's another lie of the culture, is that you can have it all and do it all. You just can't. It's a lie. You can't have it all and do it all. So if you belong to God and you belong to this church and you're participating and engaged in one or more ways and you're feeling like this is not what God has for me, something's not fitting, then I ask you, invite you, ask God, what's up? What should I be doing different? Some of us, way too many of us, are so overextended that there's just too much stuff in our life. But there isn't too much stuff in my life and your life because God's asking us to do all that stuff. We think there are things that we're involved in that are so significant. And I just want you to know they're not so significant. They're insignificant if God hasn't invited you to do it. I have this saying that I've used at different times with people who are overachievers and maximum capacity people. And I say, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Some of us who get way overextended then start making bad decisions. We can walk through a really full week. Here's a really full week. So Monday night I'm at a community board meeting and Tuesday night it's soccer practice and Wednesday night it's band practice for one of the kids and Thursday night small group rolls around, but we've gone three nights in a row without any family time. So I'm going to ditch small group and we're going to have family time. And everybody catches their breath. Then Friday's an awful day at work, and I have to go back in on Saturday morning to wrap up some things. And then there's travel soccer down in Lynchburg for the whole day. And then we keep our dinner engagement with friends, and we have a great time, but we don't roll home until like 11 o'clock. And so Sunday morning is another chance to have a breather and some family time. So we shelve church that week. So we've lived this full life all week, and at different intervals, we get overwhelmed. And so we pull back from what I've committed to in church because they love me and they understand and they're gracious. And what we do is we live our lives overextended and over full, and we keep sacrificing the very things that would bring life and bring perspective to us. Now, in some respects, I could be saying this to the wrong group of people, because if that's what they did, they're not here listening to me right now. But all of us will tend to get in this rat race because the culture keeps saying you can have more and you can do more and you can be more and you can more. And what you need is more of Jesus and more love and more serving and more giving your life away. That's what you need more of, not more of doing this and this and this and this. See, we used to measure status decades ago by what kind of car was in front or in the garage and what kind of house we lived in. And now we measure the status, if we have kids, on how amazing they are and how many extracurriculars we can pack into their life in 1 week. And we chase our lives all over, 2-hour drives to this practice, whole day and weekend gone over here, because if we don't give our kids all of those opportunities, they will be emotionally and academically and every other way stunted, and they just won't be achievers in life. That's the lie that's going, more. I just saw in the newspaper that there's more and more enrollment for academic advanced placement courses in the high schools. And so kids are doing college work at a high school time because we got to get going and we got to do more. And I'm just saying, that isn't from the heart of God to put you under that kind of pressure day after day after day. He has a different expectation of you. He wants you to lay your life down for eternal things that will matter for the kingdom. It's really quiet in here. Don't just take what I'm saying because I'm saying it. God will use me. I'm your pastor. God will use me to speak the truth. But ask him. That's my big point here. If you're involved and there is something is not right, then ask him. He might actually have a different idea. He might have given you the gifts he's given you to serve the body and to build it up. And if you keep backing off of those things while you're keeping all of these other plates away up, it doesn't make sense. And again, I'm not saying this because I need you to do what I want you to do. Really. Be free. I'm telling you that as Sue and I have walked our lives together and we have tried to be faithful to what God's called us to do, there is all, God will demand more of your life than I ever will. But what he'll do is he'll pour in the grace so that you can do it. No other leader in your life can give you the grace to do what they ask you to do. You can trust him. He's asking for all of you. It's a little scary. It's a lot scary. He's asking for all of you. Your life is not your own. He bought it with his own blood. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. Give him everything and trust him and only pick up what he asks you to. There, that was a great landing. I don't even know what's over here anymore, but let's stand up. There's two invitations I want to give. Thank you. Keep playing beautifully, Karen. Two invitations. Ministry team, could you come up? Those who pray for people each week. Thanks. Some of us don't yet belong to the body of Christ. And his invitation is, come. Jesus has paid the price to become part of his family. He gave his life. He sacrificed his life for ours. Our sins are washed in his righteousness, and we are now adopted into the family. So if you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't know him as your father, if you don't know that he loves you as his son or daughter, then you can belong to the family of God today just by coming, and one of these people will pray with you. Second invitation is to just ask God, okay, Lord, I belong to you. My life is yours. What do you want to do with it? I would invite you to come. You don't even need to stand in front of somebody and have them pray. You can just come and kneel. You can come and stand. You can do it in your seat right there in the row. But just say, Lord, this is all of my stuff. This is all that is going on in my life. My life's yours. What do you want me to continue walking in? And anything he doesn't say continue in, just let it go. That's radical. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you that we're yours. Thank you that you love us, that you saved us from our sin, that you bought us with the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus, thank you for paying the price we could never pay, and now we belong to you, so now we want to live our lives for you. So Lord, show us, speak to us. Lord, I bless each one to go out with a deeper knowledge of your great love and a greater experience of your grace being poured out in their lives. I bless each one to love you more, to know your love more. I bless each one to grow deeper roots, deeper foundation of faith in you. And send us out now in that love and that grace to share it with others in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you to go. And I invite you to come forward for a prayer for anything. Love you, church.